In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. So today we are treated to what is perhaps the most famous, the most well-known of all of Jesus's parables, the story of the Good Samaritan. Even those who are not familiar with the story are often familiar, at least with the term, Good Samaritan. In popular culture, it means someone who stops and gives help or gives aid to a stranger in need, a stranger in distress, to someone they don't know. That's what we mean in popular culture when we say someone was a good Samaritan. They stopped to help someone they didn't know. But when we hear the story as a whole, there's some layered meaning that we don't want to miss. Layered meaning that makes the Savior's story deeper and, dare I say, more complicated than just helping strangers. Let's start with the victim in this story, the one who fell among robbers and gets beaten up. Jesus starts the story with what sounds like a simple and innocent journey. A certain person went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Sounds innocent enough. We might hear it as a person went from Clayton to Clear Lake. But that's not what the Lord's hearers would have heard. Not by a long shot. As soon as Jesus said the person went from Jerusalem to Jericho, the audience would have thought, ooh, bad move. Bad decision. This is not an innocent journey. Jerusalem is the holy city. Jerusalem is God's dwelling place. Jerusalem is the city of peace. The place literally where God visits humanity. Jericho, on the other hand, was notorious. Jericho was the city with the bad reputation, Sin City, if you will. A place of crime, corruption, violence, fraud, abuse, addiction, and decadence. Saying a person went from Jerusalem to Jericho is like saying a person left their spouse and kids at church and went to the bad side of town to meet their bookie at the meth lab. That's what Jesus is saying in the first half of the first sentence. No wonder the Lord's hearers would have been thinking, ooh, this can't end well. Of course the person fell among robbers, duh. That's what happens when you go to meet your bookie at the meth lab. That's what happens when you leave the protection of Jerusalem and go off to Jericho. Most of Jesus' audience would be thinking, well, you play with fire, you're going to get burned. You made your bed, now lay in it. They had it coming. It's their own fault. This is the victim in our parable, and the idea that it's kind of their own fault is in the first line of the story. And here's where it gets interesting. Two very religious people are on that road, a priest and a religious scholar, a Levite, someone immersed in all the religious books, or in today's parlance, listens to all the right podcasts. They take one look at our victim, and they pass by on the other side of the road. And if I know my humanity, probably pretending they didn't see. And we could probably do a whole other sermon on why the priest and the scholar were themselves going back and forth to Jericho. But we'll just leave that for another day. The point is, in the Lord's story, it's the religious people that look down their noses at a victim because they saw this person as a sinner, as somehow deserving of what had happened. Now, that might be a religious thought, but it's not of God. And then along comes a Samaritan. Now, as we said, in popular mind, Samaritan represents a stranger, helping an unknown person. But again, that's not quite what's happening in this story. A Samaritan isn't just a stranger. A Samaritan is our adversary. The Samaritan is the other guy. A Samaritan is an opponent, an enemy, somebody you're at odds with. A cultural and racial and religious and social opposite. The Samaritan is definitely a them. Think of it this way. If you were in trouble or stranded or hurt, who would be the last person you'd want to show up to help you? Think of the person that you'd least want there to be and find you hurt or stranded. That's the Samaritan. That's the Samaritan. It's not just a stranger, but it's your foe. It's your nemesis. It's the person whose back you talk behind. It's your biggest antagonist. And that can be a two-way street in this story. Whether you're picturing yourself as the hurt person or the helper, this is going to be an awkward meeting, to say the least. And that's the point. That's the whole point of this parable. Because that's the moment, that's the opportunity we have to discover within us the heart of God. This isn't just an accident happened to a person, I don't know them, I'm going to help. This is somebody did something that they deserved, and it's the worst person in my mind, in my life, and I'm going to help anyway. It's discovering within us the heart of God, because the heart of God overcomes all that other nonsense in an instant. I have a number of relatives in the medical profession. I have a cousin who's a top-notch nurse. I have an aunt who's a retired nurse. I have another cousin whom I adore that is an EMT. And when she goes out on an emergency run, she doesn't know who or what she's going to find. Sometimes the medical emergency is just rotten bad luck, like a stroke. Other times, it's entirely the victim's fault, like when a person drove drunk or was showboating and wrapped their car around a tree. Sometimes it's a neighbor they know and love. Another time, it might be a neighbor they know and don't quite like so much. But in the moment, none of that matters. None of it matters. Her training, her professionalism, and most importantly, her compassion for humanity drive her to do her best in the moment. Now, that compassion part is not just for professionals. Compassion for our neighbor does not require professional training. Effort, maybe, but it's really more a discovery. It's really more a discovery, because what Jesus is telling us is that this compassion, even for the most awkward person in your life, even for those responsible for their own mess, this compassion is already inside you, because God is already inside you. In all the commentary by the Holy Fathers and Mothers, the Good Samaritan is seen as an image of Jesus Christ. And not only our helper, but one whom humanity has rejected, whom humanity has betrayed and persecuted and nailed to a cross. Yet in his divine mercy, Jesus Christ comes and heals even those who reject him. Each and every person, each and every one of you have Jesus Christ within you. You were fashioned from the beginning in the image of God. You were created very good. And whatever brokenness might have come upon you, the world can't erase this deepest essence that you are very good in the image of God. God dwells within you, and nothing can take that part away. And the compassion you show your neighbor is not a matter of having to conjure up something that isn't there. Quite the opposite. Compassion for your neighbor is not conjuring, but discovery. Discovering the compassion, even for the most awkward person in your life, even for the one responsible for their own mess. And the most important part of this parable is to remember that that compassion is already inside you, because God is already inside you. Amen.